Mandy, good morning.
Good morning, Luke. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you for ringing us.
That's okay. I've actually just knocked off work.
Well, I'm dying. That's my question. Mandy, what is work?
I am a brothel manager.
Right.
So, yes, just run a brothel down here in Melbourne and obviously deal with a lot of the sex workers and gentlemen coming in. In regards to your question about porn stars, it is becoming a little bit problem, I suppose, in the sex industry when it's a lot of young gentlemen coming in the ages between, say, 18 and 25.
Yes.
That obviously do watch a lot of this porn and come in and just think that that is
the norm.
The norm on how to treat a woman.
This is what concerns me. Because, what did you say, 18 to 25?
18 to 25, so it's the younger generation.
Yes, and they've been brought up on unadulterated, if you'll pardon the expression, and unfettered pornography since they were very, very young. And they've been able to click on whatever they wanted, even though they were probably under 18 when they started. And what concerns me, Mandy, is what they're watching they think is normal behaviour.
Yes, yeah.
And that they will expect that then from their partners.
They do, yeah. And they think it not only is the norm, but that the women like it like that.
Exactly.
And that's how they like to be treated. And it's things like, not so much like the last quarter and talking about anal and things like that, but it's more about just the really, really rough and, just to put it bluntly, just the actual thrusting and things like that. You know, it's just really, really rough and throwing the ladies in all different types of positions and doing this and doing that. And
because they think the women like it because that's what they've seen on porn?
Yeah, well, I think that they think that that is just the norm and that is what they expect of a woman. Mm. It's almost like... would you say it's the norm or they just think that's just satisfying for them? But, yeah, it is the only younger generation. So it's getting back to what they're seeing and what they're being educated on or what they've been able to get onto on the internet. And I mean, I'm in the industry where a lot of the ladies are fantastic. Like, my ladies are beautiful. I love them. And they sort of do pull them up in the room and things like that and go, hey, none of that.
Yes, settle down. Do you have security if things get out of hand?
No. It's just myself. But in saying that, I have never really had a problem. I've had to kick quite a lot out due to rough sex or just really dirty sort of things that can go on in the room. And I'll just sort of get all the girls by law down here in Victoria, they have security in every room. So there's a panic button in every single room.
How often has one of your workers had to push the panic button?
I've been in the industry for 10 years and I've only ever had the button pushed once.
And what was happening? And if it's too graphic to talk on radio, don't. But
No, it wasn't too graphic. It was basically a client was biting. So
where'd they get that from? Why did the client think that biting one of your workers was acceptable?
That is a cultural thing, I think.
Okay, well, we won't go into that either, but it was inappropriate behaviour, panic button pushed, and he was told to leave.
Yes, yeah. And so, yeah, once I do go up to the room, they do respect me, and they'll sort of get on their, you know, get their clothes on and get out straight away. I also do have a button where if I do push that, it's an instant response. So that's my instant response button that
who
if I
comes
hit that,
then?
the police will come
right.
within 2 minutes.
2 minutes, all right. So, you and your workers feel safe and protected?
Absolutely. That's my main part of my job is to just protect the girls.
When these young kids come in, so I shouldn't say kids, they're adults, but to me they're young kids. when they come in, do you ask them what do they expect, what do they want? Do they actually communicate to you the sex acts they hope to perform before they go in, or is it a surprise when they meet the girl?
No. So basically what happens, they come in, I pop them into a private intro room. The girls come out one by one and will basically say to the gentleman what their service is. There is basically a standard service and a deluxe service. So the standard service is basically just oral sex and a massage on them. If they want anything out of that,
All right, there's no need to go into too much detail, but there is a standard service, then there is another service, and they have a choice of two. If they want something else that they've seen online and perhaps want to try it, do they come out and say it, or...?
Absolutely not. Mm. No. So I think that they know that it's wrong,
okay,
but they will push the girls and try and make the girls. So a lot of them will come in and ask for the younger types of girls that have got no experience or whatever, and they will try and push those girls into that type of service.
Is there pressure from the client to the worker to not use a condom? Or is it absolutely not negotiable, it's a condom or off you go?
Well, just recently the laws were changed down here in Victoria. So legally now, the girls have got a right if they want to do it with or without a condom, which...
You'd be mad to do it without a condom, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's play Russian roulette. Give me a loaded gun, I'll put it to my head and I'll pull the trigger, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So, look, most of the gentlemen will ask that question. And the girls have got the right. As a manager these days now, I cannot pull that up. That is a law now that has just been changed.
Getting back to our original topic, do you, and I think you've already answered it, but you see young males, 18 to 25, and you've been in this game for 10 years, and you have seen a change in behaviour of the expectations from these young men, and you believe it's because of online pornography?
Oh, 100%. All the girls will tell you the same thing. 100%. Yeah. We all just sit there, and after a booking, the first thing the girls will say, oh, he's watched too much porn.
Yeah.
Oh, he's watched too much porn. It comes out every shift. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's always the youngies, always. So it's a great job. It's a very interesting job. The girls are fantastic. A lot of them do it for all different reasons. I don't judge. I don't...
Yeah, that was my next reason. They do it, obviously, for money. Do any of them do it because they just love having sex with strangers? Or, I mean, it'd be always for money.
99% of the time, yes, always for money. They've found themselves in a situation where they have to earn money quick. They may have become homeless. They may, be single parents that just cannot afford to feed their kid. All different reasons. I have had a couple of ladies that actually do it to enjoy the job, not so much that they enjoy the sex part of the job, but a lot of the job for the girls is not for the older generation and, like, you know, say from 30 onwards. You'll get gentlemen that come in that have just split up from their wives, or they've just become a widow, or we get gentlemen, you know, between 60 and 80 years old, and they'll come in with their photo albums
They come in not necessarily for sex. They come in for company and companionship.
Yes. A lot of the older generation would say to me at the desk, oh, I don't want sex. You know, I just want someone to talk to and to lie down and cuddle.
God bless.
Yeah. Look, and that's why I enjoy the job. It's that sort of that thing. And the same with me. I can sit at the desk for ages and chat to some of these clients. I talk about the older generation with his photo album, the gentleman was sort of in his 80s. And he gets driven down in a cab, and he has his photo album, and he talks about the war and everything. So,
and
yeah.
There's absolutely no sex asked for.
No.
He just wants somebody to talk to.
Yep. And the girls will tell you that the sex part of the booking probably will be, say, 5 minutes. And the rest of the time it's either cancelling. Like, a lot of these girls have to really cancel a lot of these gentlemen. Some of these girls are in it for that. The one particular girl I'm talking about, she loves it for that reason. She loves to give them a positive experience. So she's got that in her head that she can help them. And this is what she wants to do. So, you know, there's all different reasons.
Yeah. Ross asked a question, and I'll ask you. I haven't asked how old you are, Mandy, but do you have children?
I certainly do.
How old are your kids?
Mine are all adult children, so they're all over 18.
Okay, now if they were 18 again and they came to you and said, Mum, I want to be a sex worker, or I want to be a OnlyFans performer, what would your reaction be?
I would say no. And I think, though, now, because I am in the industry, my kids are sort of age between 25 and 32. Actually, my boy came to me probably when he was about 23, and he wanted to work in one of those baths, the bath thing. It's like a gay gentleman club, and they have these sauna baths or whatever, and he wanted to sort of run in one of them. And I sort of said to him, and I didn't say no, but I said, look, mate, you're gay yourself. You will get picked up and, you know, and this and that. And I try to sort of explain to him, you know, it's not an easy atmosphere. Like, even for myself, sometimes I come home it's very mental. It's a real mental job. Mm. As I've got a daughter, and would I say if she came home and said, I want to be a sex worker? Absolutely not. Only for the fact that if it could all be like the 80-year-olds where they're all really polite and beautiful and that, but I've seen girls, you know, that have come out of bookings just in tears and, you know, of what they've done in the room and things like that. 18 is really young. And like that other caller said, they just haven't got the maturity to handle rough gentlemen in the room. And so
I had a sex worker ring me a few years ago, and she was fantastic. And she ended up falling in love with a bloke, not a customer. She ended up falling in love with a bloke, and she decided to stop it. He knew what she did, by the way. He knew full well what she did, but she loved this bloke. She couldn't do it anymore, and she wanted to have children with him. So I haven't heard from her for years, but she was great. But she told me that one of the reasons she loved being a sex worker was that it gave her empowerment over men, that she'd been treated badly when she was younger, excuse me, and that her being a professional sex worker gave her empowerment.
Yes, yeah. 100% agree with that too. I've got probably a lot of my girls that have been physically abused as children or have had abusive husbands or in the past and things like that. A lot of them come from some sort of abuse in their background, and that does give them the empowerment and the not so much the control, but just the empowerment and the feel good of, you know, I can do this. Not all men are alike.
I get that.
Yeah.
Mandy, so your advice to any young person, male or female, looking to become a sex worker is no.
Look, it's such a hard call because everyone's so different, aren't they? So it depends, I guess, on their background. With what I do on my shifts, I've got a couple of young girls. You asked my age earlier. I am in my 50s. I am sort of the mum of the brothel.
Yeah, I can tell.
So,
and can I also say this? I think they're very lucky to have you, Mandy, but keep going.
Thank you. So if I do have a few girls, I always, after, you know, they might do, say, three or four bookings, because the young girls will go back to back to back to back because every gentleman comes in and wants an 18-19 year old. That is just the flavour of the month. So they might get, say, you know, 4 or 5 bookings in a row, and I'll always go out there and go, sweetie, are you okay? Do you need a break? I'm happy if you want a break. And I'll really just chat to them. And I think that you've got to have that management side of things to care for these girls.
Have you, in your 10 years of managing a brothel, this is Mandy, a brothel manager from Melbourne, and you've told me that you've had young girls come out in tears, especially when some of these young male customers have watched too much porn and they think that what they've seen online is what the girls want or what's expected of them. And when you've had a young girl come out in tears, have you ever been close, Mandy, to say to them, why don't you give this away?
No, I never say that to them. They have to make that call. I don't want to influence their decision anyway.
But as a mum, I'm...
I probably wouldn't. No, I mean, if they've decided to come into the industry, you know, I guess it's up to them. Myself, how I feel about my daughter, I wouldn't allow it. I couldn't allow it because I just know the good side and the bad side. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I totally get what you're saying. Last question, and this is probably going to lead to another conversation and maybe for another morning. But you said your son was contemplating working in a male brothel.
Like, yeah.
And you
not did, a yeah. Go on, sorry.
But anyway, you said that your son was gay, and when your son came out, did he come out, or did you always know he was gay? How did you cope with that?
Well, this is going to be a long question. I've actually got 2 sons that are gay. So the first son, the eldest one, I knew basically from the age of 2 he was gay. I just knew. He
2.
Going back. Yeah, for sure. He was at that age, you know, when they were all playing with their trucks and their cars and things like that. Oh, no, not him. He wanted, like, dolls and, you know, everything had to be pink. And just his whole mannerism, I was like, yeah, you're just showing just signs.
At 2, wow.
Yeah, probably 2 or 3, because I remember when he was 2, there was a show on telly called, it was Johnson and Friends.
Yeah, Johnson and Friends. It was a pink elephant.
Do you remember the pink elephant?
My son loved that. And there was a hot water bottle. And anyway, yes.
Well, I bought him Diesel, the truck. And I remember I bought it home and he cried his little heart out. He wanted the pink elephant. So I had to take it back to the shop and get the pink elephant.
Well, I've got something to tell you. My son, who is 32.
Yeah.
He loved Johnson and we loved watching it with him. It was wonderful stuff. And we bought him a pink Johnson elephant and he loved it. And then at the same time, he discovered bloody Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, I've got all them. And he wanted Kimberly as well, by the way.
Well, anyway, my son went from being lovely and gentle and loving Johnson, the pink elephant, to kicking the shit out of anyone that walked near him and being a Power Ranger. So
look, that one, my eldest son, 100% knew, but he didn't come out. He was very, very scared to come out because I come from a pretty strong Catholic family. And he wasn't so scared of me. I'm very, very open with my children. But he was very scared of his nanny, which is my mum. So he didn't come out till late in life, and it really, really affected him up until he came out. Then once he came out, I said, I've known all along, mate. I've known all along. And from there, he's gone into the makeup industry. He has flown through the makeup industry.
And how was nanny? How was the terrifying nanny?
Terrifying nanny, I think, was more scared of me if she said anything. So
is she accepting now?
She's passed away now, but was always accepting that she was, she wouldn't.
Before she passed, did she give him a hug and say, I love you? And everything's okay.
Yeah, she was fine. She was fine. Look, I know deep down she was like, oh, but she never showed it to me and she never showed it to him. As for my other son, who you would never pick as gay, he is muscular, he's an electrician, he's tough, rugged. Mm. He came out and I got the shock of my life. And I think my aunt, because he sat me down, he goes, "Mum, I've got something to tell you." I'm like, "Oh my God, who have you got pregnant?"
Yeah, who have you
and
got
he
pregnant?
started laughing at me. He goes, "No, I'm gay." And I'm like, "What?" And then I had to really pull myself back and go, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like, you've really shocked me.
Yeah. What? I'm your mum and I didn't pick it.
Yeah.
It was that sort of what?
Yeah.
Everything,
yeah.
And your relationship with both your sons sounds...
Oh, my God. They are beautiful and I would never, ever change them, ever, ever. Love them dearly.
Mandy, I have so enjoyed talking to you this morning. Thomas, what do you make of this? What an amazing conversation, eh, Thomas?
Yeah, well, it was fantastic. There's a lot to really think about there, isn't there?
Yeah. Mandy, thank you so much for ringing.
Anytime. Thanks for listening. I mean, thanks. You've been great. I turn you on every time when I come home from work and listen to you in my car.
Well, this is the first time you've called me. You could well win Caller of the Week. I'm sure a lot of my listeners think you should already win it. In fact, but look, it's been such an eye-opener, and you're a wonderful communicator. And please, don't be a stranger. Please call me back anytime.
Absolutely, will do. So have a lovely night.
Because I think we need more tolerance, more understanding, and we'd certainly need more love in the world, eh?
100%. Just no judgment. Everyone does something for a reason, and yeah, just stand by your children, stand by your friends. Yep, there's always a reason, so just stand by them.
You've made my night, Mandy. Thank you so much.
Anytime. You have a good one.
You too.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Around Australia on the Triple M Network. This is The Night Shift with Luke Burner. The Night Shift.